and I just learned the best spell of all.
What's that?
Sleep.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to My Alchemical Bromance, the podcast about beer and the occult. You are joining us during MabCon 2017, an annual event in which our hosts and sometimes guest hosts and sometimes spouses join together for a weekend of somber relaxation and contemplation. In tonight's episode, you will listen to our hosts, consisting of myself, Eric L. Arneson, Matthew Anthony, and Joseph Ragnarok Harrison, discuss Twin Peaks along with our guest host, Nathan Neff. We are very pleased to have you. Please relax, sit back, and enjoy the show.
MabCon!
Okay, so we're on the ferry to Seattle from Bremerton.
Yes, we're on the Hyatt.
And we've got Matt and Nate and me, Eric. Tell us, Matt, what are we going to see?
We're on our way. So from Bremerton to Seattle, then we're going to drive to North Bend and then Snoqualmie. And we're going to see all the cool Twin Peaks spots. We're going to first have lunch at the Double R. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go to Snoqualmie Falls.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where the Twin Peaks sign was. Ronette's Bridge. High school, maybe even Jackrabbit's Palace from the new season.
Can we see where they found Laura's body?
That's in Paulsboro, which is going the other way, so
oh.
No.
All right, cool.
I think that's all there may be one or two other spots, but I can't remember. Oh, the sheriff's office.
Oh, yeah? What is that, like an old high school or something?
I don't know what it was, but now it's a rally car school.
Rally cars? What's a rally car? Like, for drivers?
Uh-huh.
They go there and learn how to...
Yeah. Like, my Juke is a rally car.
Oh.
It was designed as a rally car.
Okay. Rally cars are kind of like off-road racing cars.
It's where you have...
Cars,
yeah. Right? Well, not actually off-road, just kind of not great roads.
It's a small, lightweight vehicle.
And usually have
so like, an improved road.
You have a navigator next to you that'll, that'll be yelling out, like... Turn here.
Right.
Look. Okay. Because it's super, really narrow. And then, so that was the sheriff's office. And then, when you're in the parking lot for the place, you also see where the mill was, where the Packard mill was.
Oh.
It was burned down, so all you see now is, like, some smokestacks.
So they exploded it in real life. They burned it down in real life?
Yes.
You know where the, gas station or the motel was from there?
Mm. Oh, yeah. We can also go to the... The Roadhouse,
mm.
And then Big Ed's Gas Farm, and then from the pilot, Ed and Nadine's house is across the street from Big Ed's Gas Farm. It doesn't look anything like it now, but...
What about the gas station where the Black Lodge people came through the weird staircase and...
I don't think that's in Washington.
Oh, really?
I think that was either in California or New Mexico.
Okay, because I know that it showed up in, what are those weird things you're eating? Red?
Raspberry chocolate almonds, right?
Okay. We're taking the red pill? Is that a good one or the bad one?
I don't know.
Mmm, yeah. Tastes like reality. Oh, that's too bad. That'd be neat to see.
I still haven't gotten to see Laura's log.
Laura's log?
Mm-hmm.
What's Laura's log?
Where they found the body.
Oh, that's the... where they.
And that's also the exterior. That same place, if I remember right. Like, in the show, it's Pete and Catherine's house. But also, the front of that is... Or the inside of that place is the actual interiors for the Great North. Mm.
Oh, okay. And, yeah... I think after we see all this stuff, we should have a discussion about our reactions to
season 3,
because season 3 was like the weirdest one.
Yeah,
hands down. Weirder than Firewalk with Me.
Yeah, which I haven't rewatched that. I really need to rewatch Firewalk with Me.
Yeah, I haven't rewatched all of the first 2 seasons yet. I wanted to before the third season, but now I gotta go back and try to figure out how it all connects together.
There is so many bad episodes in season two, though, like that whole middle section with like James out in the woods at that house.
The lady with the yellow teeth or gray teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was her name?
I can't remember. And I'm okay not remembering.
Marsh. Evelyn Marsh.
Evelyn Marsh. Cause is that the woman that's the woman that James had the affair with?
Yes.
And then her like evil husband came home. Or maybe he wasn't evil.
I think he actually did beat her.
Okay.
But she was in cahoots with the chauffeur? What was that?
Yeah.
But they were secretly together, and what? He orchestrated the whole deal. But
and what were they trying to get from James? They were just trying to pin everything on James, so that he'd like
sabotage the brakes.
Yeah. And then, okay, so in season three, they made some mention of like James having. Did James get in like a wreck and get brain damage?
I forgot. I think they did say something along that line.
You remember them saying that when James showed up in season three? They're like, well, he's a little slow, but he's still James. Huh. I don't know. I know somebody in real life is named James Hurley, though. he's a guitar player. He's a musician, Southern California.
Play just you and I. Speaking of a bad episode.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything with Donna.
Donna wasn't always bad.
I like Fire Walk With Me, Donna.
That was a different actress.
Yeah.
That was before she was trapped in the walls of the Great Northern.
Mm-hmm. So this ferry kind of like goes around this spit and we come out in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to go around this corner and go to the sea.
So we're going that way?
Huh?
Port. We're going to go to the port side.
Sea lions on the.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My Alchemical Bromance is sponsored by Miskatonic Books. Miskatonic Books is an online bookstore that focuses on rare, limited edition, and custom-made books of the highest quality. They specialize in books on the occult, ceremonial magic, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, Hermeticism, and other topics of interest to you, our listeners. Check them out on the web at miskatonicbooks.com.
Okay, we're live. Welcome back to My Alchemical Bromance. Or welcome to MabCon
3.
2. The first one is MabCon Beta. we are at Snoqualmie Brewery. No, wait, what are we called?
Yeah, Snoqualmie Brewing Company.
Yes. Snoqualmie Brewing Company in Snoqualmie.
Yes. Snoqualmie Falls.
Falls. In Snoqualmie Falls. It's right on my pint glass.
Just read your notes.
Oh, right. I forgot about my notes. and we have Joey with us now.
Hello.
Yes. And we're experimenting. Just for my edification, I listen to this later. We have the lanolier mic plugged in on one side, and the live mics or the built-in mics are aimed at Nate and I. Kind of. That's probably better. Okay, so where did we go? Twin Peaks tour.
We started off, did we record inside in the Double R?
No, we recorded on the ferry. Yeah.
Yeah, so first stop we went to was the Double R, where we had lunch, and all the cool people had pie.
Uh-huh.
Some people didn't have pie.
Yep. Delicious cherry pie. And some amazing coffee.
After that, we went to where the Twin Peaks sign is. Well,
it was
for like a week.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't been there since they shot the show.
And so, wait, who said that they got...
I found something that claimed that someone that was a regular in the area had been knocked down twice, and so the third time it got knocked down, they just left it down.
That's...
The comment below it was, that's why we can't have any nice things.
That is why they can't have nice things. And then we went to Ronette's Bridge.
sheriff's office.
Uh-huh.
And it was cool because they had the sheriff's Bronco done up from the show.
Yeah, that was really neat. We got to take pictures. We took selfies with it.
And then the Packer Mill, what's left of it. Then, Ronette's Bridge. The road is closed, but we were rebels. And
we drove through water and mud. And the river, is that the Snoqualmie River by any chance?
Probably.
It's a tributary.
But it's super high.
Crazy high. And that's why, and we went to the falls too, where the Great Northern is. Mm-hmm. And the falls were just crazy rolling.
And it was just like raining outside the falls. It was the mist was so heavy that Joey had to hide his magic iPad in his jacket.
And protect his hair.
Yeah.
And I had to protect my hair.
Yeah.
Most importantly.
I mean,
iPad can be replaced.
Your hair still looks really good.
Thank you.
Then we went to the Roadhouse, which doesn't look anything like the Roadhouse anymore.
I can even look at it and think about what the Roadhouse looked like. Because I always feel like the Roadhouse has this big parking lot in front of it.
It's got
the bang, neon sign. Yeah. So it didn't look
like...
Because
they shoot from the side where we pulled in, where the gas station is. They're shooting towards there.
But even
with
then...
a wide angle, which makes it feel like...
Oh, it just didn't look... Yeah. It just didn't look like the Roadhouse.
Which we went there... like a month after they wrapped shooting the new season, and it looked like the Roadhouse.
I feel like probably the most exciting part...
Oh, Big Head's Gas Farm, too. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, we went to Big Head's Gas Farm. Oh, I didn't put any pictures of that on Instagram.
Check the show notes.
Okay, yeah, in the show notes, there'll be a picture of Big Head's Gas Farm. That's just Big Head's Gas Farm. It was kind of cool. I think that the best part was the sheriff station with the Bronco and
the old mill.
Yeah. They were really accommodating to their fans because they had a little sign in the Bronco that said, "Hey, Twin Peaks fans, you're welcome to come take pictures. You could even come inside."
Yeah.
Plus, offices.
The name of the business was Dirtfish.
Dirtfish.
It was a rally school.
Yeah. rally car track
and all that.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
See if they've got a website you can link to in the credits.
Oh, yeah. Show notes.
Thank them for hosting Twin Peaks fans.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't try to go inside because it was Sunday. Or actually, I didn't really.
We could have gone in, but
yeah. Do you think? Did they do the interior film?
Fellas, don't drink that coffee. You'd never guess. There was a fish in the percolator. Sorry.
I'm gonna jump straight into Judy's origin story, right? So the ghost hobos, after the nuke fell. One of them takes over the radio station, delivers the horse poem.
It's first, Judy already existed, always existed.
Judy always existed, and she got tricked.
The bomb's explosion triggers her giving birth to Bob.
Okay.
And then 8 years later, Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard go to New Mexico, perform the Working of Babylon, which brings forward the
Ghost hobo.
Which
takes over the radio station. Wait, so then when did the bug get into the egg? Is that the working of Babylon?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Babylon working puts the bug frog into the egg, so the ghost hobos have to, like, knock everybody out so the frog bug can crawl into baby Sarah Palmer's throat.
Yes.
And take over Sarah Palmer. Okay.
And then give birth to Donald Trump.
And then give birth to Donald Trump.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Is birth year the same year as that they did the working? I think someone actually looked this up. Oh,
really? The year that Trump was born?
Yeah.
Well, he's 70. So...
That might be that might be something significant.
Consult the Oracle.
Okay, and then we also talked about how in the first few seasons, are there signs that Judy possesses Sarah Palmer? And that's the one that we don't know the answer to.
Other than just her being really odd.
Yeah.
She was her really oddness odd.
Grieving, like Nate said, or was it...
She was super freaked out all the time. She was really... Yeah. Wait, so... Okay, all right, And it seemed weird to me, so I was a little baffled that they didn't even reveal the existence of Judy proper until, like, right at the end, when David Lynch's yelling character, who is named...
Gordon Cole.
Gordon Cole. When Gordon, like, pulls the hot FBI lady in, and he's like, "Tammy? I'm gonna tell you a secret now!" And, right, so then Gordon Cole and Philip Jeffries and Agent Cooper all had the plan on how to attack Judy ages ago. Like, they'd come up with a plan, and it kind of got disrupted when Cooper got sucked into the Black Lodge, right? So they just continued with the plan once Cooper returned.
What?
So the Jack Parsons...
Babylon?
Did the Babylon working in 1946. Trump was born in June 14th of 1946.
Oh.
Oh my
Holy
God.
Holy crap. Donald Trump is Judy. Whereas Donald Trump Bob.
Yes.
Yeah, one or the other.
he's just a malicious force.
Bob's a lot smarter.
Well, yeah. Not as smart as... Like, Judy's clever, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it really works that way in real life, though. If, like, an evil entity takes over your body, there's probably some kind of, like... There's probably a little bit of a lag with control of body or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And words.
So...
Yeah.
You get slow. Kofefe.
that's like a son of the horse poem.
That's son of the horse poem. Kofefe.
Whenever he tweeted that, someone fell asleep and a new bug crawled.
Oh, damn. Kofefe is the white of the eye and dark within.
And bigly.
And bigly. So I had a beer called Kofefe recently. It was a strange triple IPA put out by Widmer Brewing, and it was free. It was at that beer tech event that I went to. It was disgusting. It was awful. It was so overhopped and so sweet and so boozy. Like, everything was over the top to the point where it tasted sort of like it would be a great beer if they added some club soda to it.
Was it kind of orangish?
It was orangish. It was thick. It was gnarly. And it was called Kofefe. Kofefe Triple IPA. They must have known how horrible it was. It was a free cake that the event got.
What event was that?
Huh?
What event was that?
It was a Tech PDX meetup. October Tech PDX, I think is what it was called.
Nice.
But it was basically like four different companies presented their beer technology. The Widmer like experimental brew house guy was there, and he talked about like his setup and how all of that worked. And then there was the Pico beer. Is that what they're called?
Pico Brew,
which is like a cartridge based brewing system that looks a little
cartridge.
It's
like the Keurig of homebrewing.
Yeah, it's the Keurig of homebrewing, but it looks really. It looks like it's too expensive for. And he basically said that it's aimed at breweries. It's for like breweries to do pilot batches of like 2.5 gallons
or something like that.
But
I was gonna say, like, why would you buy something like that?
I don't know. It was pretty nuts. And then there was a brewery management system, sort of like not a POS, but like something that managed like inventory and brew times and brew control and all that kind of stuff.
Oh right.
And then there was that really...
Operations system.
Something like that. And then there was that really high-tech, awesome growler where you put the CO2 cartridge in and it has, like, a tap on the front.
I've seen those.
I haven't seen that.
They're really pretty. I've heard that a lot of them have, like, problems with their seals and stuff, but...
I wonder if you could use a nitrogen...
I asked about that, and they said probably not.
Yeah, it's a different style of dispenser tip.
Mm-hmm.
That's required.
And I talked, I was at Hopworks a few weeks ago, and I saw some guy come in there with one of those things, and he got it filled up, and he seemed super happy with it. He was really excited about it.
Very nice.
So
I just carry a whipped cream canister from my growler now.
Yeah. That's just to make you really happy between pints. That's nitrous oxide.
So how does that work? Oh, it's on nitro.
Yeah.
You're on nitro.
I just put the nitro in my mouth and then I take a swig of beer.
Actually, I'm just doing whippets while I drink. So.
Giggle the whole time I drink. He's like, did we bring out the champagne?
Uh. Well, does anybody want to give their interpretation of the end of Twin Peaks now that we're actually recording?
If it didn't get recorded before, I would just like to say that there could have been 20 minutes of driving cut out. That was my critique.
I'm hoping that the 3 extra hours of footage and the DVDs that are coming out, the Blu-ray, whatever.
3 extra hours?
There's going to be 3 extra hours. I hope an hour and a half of that's driving.
I'm hoping that all three hours are going to be driving. I mean, think of how many hours... Robert, was that what Dale Cooper's new name was in the new universe?
I can't remember his and Diane's
Richard.
Name.
Richard and Linda. Yeah. Right, so I hope that Richard and... Because Richard and not Laura Palmer were in that car for... They must have been in that car for a long time. It takes like 20 hours to drive from Odessa to Twin Peaks.
3 days.
Yeah, it takes forever. So you could totally do 3 hours of really uncomfortable driving time.
Oh, David, if you do that to me.
How do you Oklahoma guys eat so much? Do you have like stomach? Do you have like, is it like because you're all part cow? Do you have multiple stomachs in there?
It's because of all the chemicals floating around our body.
Oh, the chemicals break down the food faster, so you...
No, I might. I'm thinking about it. Thank you. Don't get your hopes up.
My hopes are... Oh, for...
I'm like full of a pizza sounds really good.
Well, you guys might want pizza in the car on your drive back.
That's a good driving food, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can eat it with one hand.
Right.
My favorite driving food was always biscuits and gravy.
Oh my God. How do you eat that while you're driving?
You drive with your knees.
In the Midwest, it's tolerable. You can do this kind of stuff. You can drive with your knees and things.
You just got long stretches. For real, you just drive with your knees and you
eat
pork. Yeah.
See, my favorite driving foods are always stick based. So like pepperoni sticks.
Well, that's why you drive
cheese
stick chip when you're eating that stuff.
Yeah. Bread sticks.
Oh man.
Anything that you can just sort of like leave hanging out of you.
Float.
Oh,
that's perfect. That sounds really good.
Man.
So I don't think I can handle anything else sweet today.
Yeah. Good on.
I mean, we
that
had.
Pie was amazing.
I feel like
I've
we
had
all
more
ate.
Pie this weekend than I believe I've had. Harvest Moon.
Okay, so, but one of you guys. So we should talk about sex magic in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Because there is the scene when, with the. With the glass. The glass room.
Yeah.
Right, the mysterious glass room in New York City.
Yeah, as soon as the kid had
a little
babysit the box and change out the video cards.
Yeah.
As soon as he and his girlfriend had sex, it brought Judy Ford out of the box.
Yeah.
And she killed him.
Hold on a second.
Because it was the same. Because later we see...
Could that be Judy?
Yeah. Cause because we saw, like on the footage, the still frame.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same gray creature we saw during the atomic blast that gave birth to Bob, which was Judy.
Yeah.
So how did Judy get in... But... Okay, if that's the case... Was Judy in Sarah Palmer all that time? Or did Judy come through and inhabit Sarah Palmer then?
Ah, that's a good point.
So maybe the bug, maybe the frog bug was Bob. And maybe that wasn't Sarah Palmer that got the frog bug. Maybe that was just Bob's first host?
Could be.
I'm gonna have to watch a lot of this stuff again.
Yeah.
But I think they also implied, though, that she was always, she was Judy even back when Laura was killed. Because weren't there some scenes in episode 17 where it kind of implied that she was Judy even then?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case, but if that's so, then...
We're just going to have to watch it all again.
Yeah.
I just canceled Showtime.
We're recording this podcast after this where we actually know what we're talking about.
You guys come up for another weekend, we'll just do a marathon. We'll watch Firewalk with Me, seasons 1 and 2, and season 3.
MabCon 2
plus
and a half.
Plus the 3 hours of driving. Where they argue about radio choice.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll have to do some serious drugs to stay awake through that whole marathon.
You know, what we should do as a tribute to David Lynch is we should record a podcast of 3 hours of driving.
No talking.
Joey and I were recorded on the way home today.
Yeah, just record.
And at the end, some very, like, super popular but yet obscure indie band starts playing.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it ends.
Yeah. But you should start with... Ladies and gentlemen.
And we can talk about like
Arcade
people
Fire.
First names only.
Yeah, you can every 20 minutes.
So David, do you He's a real asshole. I can't believe he's such an asshole.
Can you believe what he said about Cindy? Have any of you guys listened to the podcast Tannis?
No, but I've had Matt tell me about it. You told me about it.
Uh-huh.
What's Tannis?
It's a really clever podcast. I think it's really well done. Though I've kind of stalled out at the beginning of season two. I'm not watching it as regular or listening to it as regularly now. But it takes place around Seattle, and it's recorded like it's a real sort of investigation, like a mystery podcast. But it's all sort of fictionalized. At least I hope it is, because it's kind of creepy. But it has some stuff in common with Twin Peaks. Like somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, there's a mysterious gateway to another world. And stuff is really spooky, and there are doppelgangers, like duplicates of people, and like all of the stuff that's very strange.
That sounds pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Sounds like Aberdeen.
Aberdeen? What's that? You mean in Texas?
Aberdeen, Washington.
What's Aberdeen, Washington?
You never been to Aberdeen? Birthplace or home of Kurt Cobain?
It's a shithole.
Yeah,
I've never been to Aberdeen.
No offense.
There's no reason.
No offense, Aberdeen.
But it's a horrible place.
Okay.
Is that where you commit suicide, or is that in Seattle?
No, it's where you grew up. But you go to Aberdeen, you instantly get like, "Oh,
you
I completely understand Kurt Cobain now."
Murdered.
Yeah. Tannis. But so anyhow, Tannis and Twin Peaks.
No, hold on. I want to go all out. I want to make sure that everyone that lives in Aberdeen listens to our podcast and okay. Listens to it again. Aberdeen is like Washington is so awesome, but they decided like we're awesome, but there has to be some place to put shitty stuff. Like we'll just consolidate it all and we'll put it in a place called Aberdeen.
So you're talking about the shitty stuff that's too shitty for Spokane?
Yes.
Oh, Spokane. That stuff is extra shitty.
I'll stick up for Spokane.
Dude, you already spend a lot of time sticking up for Tacoma. You can't stick up for every place in Washington. Like, you know, I love Oregon dearly. I think Oregon is an incredible place. But there are some places in Oregon that I would like to never go to again.
Lincoln City?
Lincoln City's great. Have you been to Lincoln City?
I have.
I love Lincoln City.
It's the Walmart of the Oregon coast.
No, are you kidding? Lincoln City's incredible.
Cool stuff there.
So Lincoln City is new, right? Lincoln City's only like 30 years old.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It used to be 6 different towns up and down the Oregon coast, and one day they're all like, you know what, we're going to consolidate into one town, and since it's shaped like a Lincoln log, we're going to be called Lincoln City. No, that wasn't their reason. I don't know why they...
Alternative facts.
Alternative facts. But Lincoln City has, like, awesome bookstores.
Yeah.
It's got, like, super cool dive bars.
Antique malls that are badass.
Yeah,
it's got one of the best skate parks in all of Oregon.
Oh, man, it's got some incredible pizza. It's got beautiful beaches. It's got
a really weird diner place with a tiger theme.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
it's got Rusty Truck Brewing. It's got
a casino.
There's a casino.
One restaurant that's like right on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like sit on the beach itself in their patio and look out over the ocean.
Yeah, it's got... I had some really good seafood there. I loved Lincoln City. I had a great time there.
Everywhere. It's Kilo's. Kilo's.
Oh, yeah.
Kylo
Ren's. Oh, I went there.
That's the one that's on the beach.
Rooms. Yeah,
They're almost every single place along there has like the world's best clam chowder advertised.
Yeah,
plus if you walk on the beach, you can just get like hand blown glass.
I thought you were gonna say something else about hand blown stuff on the beach, but
well, that goes on too.
Joey hand blows everything at the beach. Yeah, I really like Lincoln City. Plus, their library is so cool. Like, you know, their library staff hired me to come down and public and speak there. I gave a lecture on history of secret societies and a history on the lecture on the history of cryptography.
Oh, that was cool. Lincoln City?
Yeah.
For some reason I thought that was Seaside. I don't know why.
No,
they've
Lincoln
actually
City.
They've got a really cool historic hotel or cemetery as well.
Uh-huh.
So every Halloween, like for a week leading up to Halloween, you can go up and they have people in town that dress up and like pretend like they're the dead people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they do that at Lone Fir in Portland too.
Yeah, it's really cool. I actually spent last Halloween was spent with this Oregon Cemetery Association.
Hmm.
So Halloween was spent in Lincoln City at the casino and hotel with like all the people in the cemetery world and Oregon.
That sounds cool.
Morticians or whatever they're called.
We prefer the term cemetery walkers.
Yeah.
Zombies.
No, it was fun.
You know him on TV?
That is He-Man.
Oh, wow.
No, wait. That's not original He-Man.
It's a Geico commercial or something.
Yeah. Holy crap. Skeletor just got a rocket pack and wings.
Yeah, Geico.
Oh, Geico.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, at least they're getting a little bit of a revival.
Oh,
He-Man sold out, though.
Those guys are unstoppable.
I can't believe He-Man sold out.
Man of Arms. I thought you had some dignity.
I mean, if you think about it, they don't seem to ever have any, like, serfs or people to tax, and they're always having new inventions and new machines on He-Man, so how else are they going to pay for all of their gear?
They've moved into a post-job economy.
Well, that does mean they have to sell out to Geico.
I have no comprehension of this post-job economy.
It's okay, so eventually, stuff is going to get super automated.
Yeah, but what about bartenders?
Bartending might be automated in some places.
Can't be. Maybe at the airports, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I bet everything will be. I think at some point.
The
Applebee's is going to have automated
bartending. There's the aspect of bartending that is just simply dispensing booze, and yes, in establishments where that takes place, you could do that.
Yeah.
In most bars across the country, the bartender is the therapist and the counselor of all the general public that comes
in. You could have AI that's just as capable.
Yeah, I mean, haven't you ever heard of Eliza?
You'd have to, like, program in, like, everything Freud and Jung had ever come up with, along with a lot of other psychiatrists over recent years.
Okay, but we're kind of... But that's not... So a post-job economy doesn't mean that there won't be jobs, but the post-job economy means that most of the jobs that can be automated will be automated to the point where there won't be enough jobs that it makes sense that people are required to have jobs to live.
Everybody will become bartenders.
But
it's fine. They'll just get a psychology degree and go become bartenders.
Of course, you know, the psychology teachers will all be robots.
But yeah, of course. Who needs a real person to teach you that kind of stuff?
Well, in that type of environment, the people who have like serious mental conditions and things that can't be fixed, they'll just incinerate them.
No, they'll just make them therapists.
So the other part of Sex Magik in Twin Peaks was Richard and Linda.
The drive. The driving in the car that was cut out.
Is that what sex is like for you?
The driving in the car? There was 3 hours of time cut out. I'm sure there was a lot of sex magic.
That's the only way that I stretch out how long my sex is by driving in the car.
Driving in the car.
I count that. That's foreplay.
That's foreplay. I can last for hours depending on how far away you live.
That's where you get to play your mixtape to get some in the mood.
Oh.
For you kids out there, a mixtape is the what technology existed before CD players and now the digital media.
No, you can
mix tapes are back.
Yeah, and not only that, but you can make mixed CDs.
Like all my like Sub Pop, they released everything on cassettes again.
The crappy technology.
Why cassettes?
Because cassettes, if you have a really good cassette player, actually the quality is good. Like the problem is, God, like,
now we're going to be going from records to cassettes.
No, I don't want cassettes again.
Let's just go back to 8-tracks.
Hold on. I'm not making the case like everyone should go to cassettes. I'm not going to make one of those cases. What I'm saying is, the bulk of us had shitty cassette players whenever we were kids.
Speak for yourself.
And the quality. Oh, I said the bulk of us. So our experience with cassettes was low audio quality, especially when we'd buy like that 4-pack of blank cassettes at the checkout line and record stuff off the radio or own radio plays, whatever. It sounded awful. But
For you kids out there, radio, like it used to be you would use an electronic machine to pick noise up out of the air.
There's like early podcasts with people playing music in between there.
Yeah, and it was real time, so you couldn't like rewind or anything.
But if you had a high-end cassette deck and you had a well-mastered cassette, the quality is actually really, really good.
Okay, I mean, I believe that, but...
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, me neither.
But...
So what are you doing? Are you getting any of these mixtapes?
Sometimes they come included. Like, when you order, like, the vinyl, you'll get the digital download, and they'll send the cassette also. Cool. Like, the last Father John Misty album, last two will send a cassette.
I'm totally cool with you buy the most primitive technology. You get all the upgrades of technology along the way.
Yeah, you get all of it.
You should get the vinyl, the DVD, I mean the CD, the cassette tape, and the digital download,
and the Edison roll.
The wax cylinder.
So I have a mixtape story. In long time ago in college, we still had tapes, and this girl that I really liked made me a mixtape, and I was really excited about it. But my cat Tarzan, who was typically a fairly well-behaved cat, peed on it. Like, got a hold of it, dragged it onto the floor, and freaking peed on the tape.
That's a sign.
I was like, what? What
do I do?
That's
the coolest cat ever.
That's a total sign.
So I rinsed the tape off, and I let it dry, and it still played just fine.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it smell while it played?
I rinsed it pretty... It was maybe a little smelly. You know, like, you don't want to listen to it in the summer. But, yeah, it still worked. You could totally rinse cat urine out of a cassette tape.
I think we're going to have.
My other mixtape story is that I love the Guardians of the Galaxy mixtape soundtrack. That's awesome.
Guardians of the Galaxy has a pretty awesome soundtrack for both the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't watched the second one.
It's good. I
haven't either.
I would venture it's almost better than the first one.
I heard the opposite.
Groot is badass. You realize that Groot is all things. Groot is the I am.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. No,
I mean, he's fighting
against
the... He is
the divine all I am.
He's,
I am.
Yeah. Well...
Is it still Vin Diesel?
Who's Vin Diesel?
Who's Vin Diesel?
The voice of Groot.
Oh, well, I don't know. Probably. It sounds like the same voice.
But
Fast
I mean...
Fast and Furious.
Ironically,
well,
the bad guy...
I didn't know he was Groot.
Yeah.
I mean, the bad guy in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is Ego.
Yeah.
Which
totally
is
awesome.
I am.
Yeah. Well, no. Uh-huh.
Ego means I am.
No, no. It does, but this, I think, what Groot is the true I am, the
okay.
actual force of the universe.
All right.
The divine spirit. It's the bone die, the great spirit.
Do you think...
That's why it can never die. It just regenerates and grows again, and it protects everything in the universe that's important. That's why it's a Guardian of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. I feel like I need to see
the divine into our universe.
I gotta see that movie again, I guess. I don't know how to feel
it's
about
the divine
it.
Spark.
We watched an even better movie last night.
Yeah? Oh, so I didn't watch a whole lot of it. Why didn't you tell us about this movie? What was it called?
It was called Beyond Lemuria. Starring Poker Onion.
Uh-huh.
These are names that, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know them. Poker Onion,
uh-huh.
Milo Duquette. Who's the FLO guy?
Oh, I can't.
It's
Paul Clark.
Yeah.
Doctor Paul Clark.
Dr. Paul Clark.
Someone who I'm guessing was Paul a Clark. Lady wrestler at one time.
Oh, is that the dancing lady?
Yeah.
She looked good.
I think she was probably a wrestler. Or maybe she was on that American Gladiator show.
Maybe.
Not that whole vibe going on.
So, there was a lot of really bad acting in that movie.
I think all of it was bad. Every single... stitch of everything in that movie is terrible.
But it's
done.
It's
for
so
that.
Bad you gotta watch it.
Yeah, it's one of those that's an intentional B cult flick.
Yeah,
genre.
Yeah.
So
it's great and it's horrible.
Yeah,
it's hilarious to watch.
What's the plot? Like, give us a summary. What's the plot of the movie so that people are encouraged to go enjoy it for its incredible storytelling?
It's
something to do with the entrance to the Hollow Earth inside.
Oh, right, because it's the Richard Schaefer Mysteries,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, it's the Schaefer Mysteries, the Hollow Earth entrance inside of the Mount Shasta.
With the Darrow, the deranged robots.
Yes.
Except it looked like they were presenting the Darrow as some sort of like actual alien critters or living creatures instead of robots.
I think that's right.
Okay.
So I fell asleep like 15 minutes into it. Did it get into the whole Saint Germain, Mount Shasta mythology, or?
I've watched it once. I watched it with Joey years ago, and we still did Oklahoma. But I can't remember it, and we both fell asleep about an hour in. So
yeah, I don't remember it.
For anybody that may not know, there's a story of.
That's when the frog crawled in our mouths.
Yeah. There's a story of Mount Shasta involving Saint Germain that claims that Saint Germain wanders Mount Shasta to this day. And he met with the original people that created the...
Hey!
No, you can make fun of...
You can't make fun of
Saint
Germain.
It's a religion origin story, so you can't discredit them. It's because they're a new chaos religion. So the I Am Church founders claim that they received messages from Saint Germain from meeting him on Mount Shasta. And he imparted the wisdom of the Emerald Tablets and all that kind of stuff to them.
It was a dehydrated thru-hiker.
Yeah.
Saint Germain comes up a lot in modern occultism. It's really strange. I didn't realize how prevalent Saint Germain stuff is. Like, tons of different co-masonry things have a Saint Germain history.
I'm sure that we know Saint Germain.
Yeah, it's weird that we get to know him and nobody else does.
Yeah.
But We should bring him on as a guest in this podcast and just not tell anybody that it's St. Germain.
Well, that's not how it works. The way it works is you get secret knowledge from the St. Germain, and you're the only one that can tell other people. St. Germain has that with third party all the time.
No, that doesn't sound like bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
I think you could have St. Germain on the podcast and just not tell anybody about it. And
can we tell 7 people?
Yes, 7 is an important number. Maybe you could tell 777 people.
Maybe. Okay, so should we? Well, that we, our audience is probably 7 people right now.
At the point we hit 777, we need to have a celebration.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, we'll plan that for 2053. The podcast is still going. So, what did you guys think of the conference? Esotericism and Freemasonry conference, which
this
I would
is
have
not
called
a Masonic podcast, by the way.
The conference on esotericism and Freemasonry. I think that sounds a little
Think that was better. But I liked a lot of the speakers. I thought actually all of them had really good stuff that they shared. Some of it was a little bit more on my theoretical side of origins of things, and some of it was more grounded. And I think that both of them are very important to the study of Freemasonry. I really appreciated the organizers for putting it on. That's awesome to try the first attempt to pull it off. And
there was a really good turnout for the first attempt.
That room is full.
Yeah,
I won the first ticket for next year for free because I signed up first this year.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we're definitely going next year. We might. Yeah. I hope that the Esoteric Book Conference comes back next year, though, because I do think that the Esoteric Book Conference had a higher caliber of lectures going on. We just didn't pay enough attention to it early enough.
And truly, the Esoteric Book Conference was more, the speakers there, topics were more esoteric.
Yeah.
More esoteric, for sure.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff in this one that...
This one was good. It was a good attempt, but
the general theme was esoteric, so that made it more esoteric necessarily. Because Masonry, nobody knows anything about it. It's totally esoteric by definition.
Well,
that building is cool though.
Oh yeah.
University Lodge.
Yeah. It's
University Lodge.
It's gorgeous. That lodge room with the murals on every single wall. Beautiful.
Did you guys go upstairs at all?
To the library? I didn't.
No,
I've never been up there.
There was another upstairs.
Yeah, there's a third floor. I went up there to take a nap at one point.
That's where you disappeared. Somebody texted me and was like, where'd Joey go? And I was like, I don't know. He must have done something and gone off somewhere. I don't know.
No, I was sitting outside the door listening to the meditation.
Thanks.
Sitting outside the door listening to the meditation portion. I got sleepy, so I went upstairs and slept on the couch.
I can't believe that Sydney did that the other night. So,
who's Sydney? Oh, right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And then Jim just walked in, and I can't believe he just,
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Petty.
And ZZ Top.
The Roadhouse proudly presents. Oh, wow, look at that.
For those of you listening at home, it's really pretty outside.
Trees are changing.
It's getting close to sundown. I suppose it's pretty soon we're gonna stop recording. It'll be sad.
Esoteric weekend is over.
Well, for you guys.
Yeah, ours continues.
MapCon is ongoing.
Just looking at the window here and seeing a guy walk by with a camera. It's entertaining how many people I've seen wandering around with cameras today at these various Twin Peaks locations we've gone to.
Yeah, I'm curious if how many of them are Twin Peaks fans and how many of them are just here because it's gorgeous in this area. All the leaves are changing and everything's really pretty and there's a river and like...
I think at the Double R there was a significant number of Twin Peaks tourists.
Definitely. Yeah, the Double R was packed.
Yes, it's insane.
Super full.
And I'd be suspicious a lot of the falls, people at the falls were too. Although the falls,
I don't know.
Very
the falls
beautiful.
Are always like that.
Yeah,
it's always been.
Because a lot of the people at the falls were foreigners.
Well, it's been 25 years. I mean, there's been 25 years of Twin Peaks fans going there. So
it's true. It's hard
But the Double R, like every time we do, I take people on the Twin Peaks tour. We go to the Double R,
and it'll be dead.
It's not necessarily dead, but nothing like that.
Yeah. Today was really busy.
Especially at 2 in the afternoon on a Sunday.
That's why I had to park by the railroad.
I have to go to the restroom. Is there a restroom up here?
No. If you go that way, and get
Whoa. Okay, now that Matt's gone, let's talk about it. So do you think Portland should have a conference on esoteric Freemasonry?
Yeah. I think should we have one in the summer. Or not summer, but in spring.
So should we compete with them?
No. That's why it's the opposite of the opposite end of the year, so you get two different conferences you can go to. Where when we can feed off of each other.
Okay.
So they'll be complimentary.
Sweet. Thriller.
How's your head, Matt?
Potato.
I mean, he seems normal. No, I mean, did you hurt yourself?
No, it's padding.
No, it's... Oh, is that padding?
I hope it's padding. Because it felt really soft.
Something gave.
Hit him right in the soft spot.
Really like both those beers.
I did too. That was good. That was better than I was expecting. Okay, I'm gonna.
Because they also make a Twin Peaks themed beer, Ghostwood Kolsch.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, but it's not on tap right now. And then they also have a Avalanche Winter Ale, which I was hoping would be on.
Too.
I really love winter ales, and it's almost time for everybody to have winter ales all the time.
Yes.
Every alchemist ends up with a surfeit of Solomonic gold. But have you made sure that your precious alchemical creations can follow you to the next life? The transmigrational investment experts at the Gnomes of Zurich can provide the expertise to make sure that your hard-earned fortunes are available to you no matter the afterlife of your long repose. To start investing wisely, enclose 1 troy ounce of Solomonic gold with 6 ounces of fresh manure in a mason jar and seal it under the sign of Mercury. Bury the jar in your backyard during a full moon, and our subterranean account specialists will contact you during the next lunar return. Get started investing in tomorrow, today. The Gnomes of Zurich, putting the riches of the cosmos to work for you.
We're going to invite you to ride our ponies.
Oh, hell yes.
Let's talk about Diane from Twin Peaks. So we actually encountered Diane really early on, even though we didn't know her.
Yes.
Right? So episode 2?
Was that place atop the White Lodge? Now that we know what the White Lodge looks like?
All right, so let me try to get this straight. So,
because it looked like
so Cooper fell out of the waiting room.
Yes.
Because the doppelganger of the arm did something bad, right? And he fell through the floor.
I don't think
through space and landed on the outside of that building that was in the Great Sea,
which I think is the White Lodge.
Well, because that's where the fireman is.
Yeah.
Oh, why was it so uncomfortable in there? So you got in there, and there was the lady sitting.
Yeah, the lady with no eyes, who ended up being Diane.
But that wasn't Diane in there. There were two.
I thought that was Diane because she's the one that came that Andy brought out of the White Lodge.
Okay, so he got into that lodge. Diane, who was the lady with no eyes, who had another name in the credits, Nida or Nate.
Yeah,
Nayla or something like that. And she was sitting on the couch.
And she laid out the plan in that scene. Or whatever he came to.
Man, I want to watch that episode again now.
At least that's how I remember it. I think that's what she was doing.
Yeah.
She was talking to him.
Yeah, because she couldn't really talk. She could just make, like, weird noises. But there was, like, a big pounding, like somebody was coming.
Yeah.
So, and Cooper had to get out. I don't know if that was the White Lodge. I think that was someplace else. Hmm. I don't know. Though. So then she led him...
through the outlet.
But she led him up to the satellite thing first. To the roof. I remember because they had to make some sort of change. They had to like flip a switch. So they climbed up a ladder. Like it looked like it was a ladder to the attic. And they went out into the roof and they were on this giant wobbly cube floating in a vast void.
Yeah.
And she had to like go around this big bell and flip a switch, which blasted her off into the void.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And then she didn't show up again until Jack Arp's house. And I think that her blasting through the void... she landed in Jackard's house.
Yeah.
So there was a transition between... that was Barley the Witch Dog. We know time gets super screwy in the Black Lodge and the White Lodge and the waiting room and stuff. Like, time moves backwards or forwards or in weird directions. So when we were talking about Judy yesterday, I don't know if this part got on tape either, but we were talking about, like, how does it work that Judy... kills the kids during the sex magic ritual if she's also the frog bug crawling into Sarah Palmer's mouth 40 years earlier, 50 years earlier? Like, how does that work? What's the connection there? And I was kind of thinking, like, well, wait, maybe that glass box, maybe there's time travel. Maybe Judy comes through following Cooper, but is able to somehow go back to the 40s.
Because we're assuming, whenever episodes 1 and 2 start, that everything's linear.
Yeah.
Because that scene could have been as Cooper was coming out of the lodge later.
Yeah.
Because he was also in a still frame of the box.
Yeah, yeah. He showed up the box, too. So then Diane... Wait, is the eyeless lady's name an anagram for Diane?
Is there a question?
I'm looking that up. I'm looking it up right now. Naido.
Naido.
Not a... Ooh, Diane.
Yo, bro.
Diano. It's almost an anagram for Diane. But, so she gets flung through time and space and ends up at Jackrabbit's palace, specifically at the time they're told to go there.
Yes.
So it's almost like that was predestined. Oh man, my hoodie is going to be so sticky. I'm covered in... Is that the wart yet? That's the wart.
Yeah,
it's wart. I'm covered in wart! How about you, Barley? You get any wart? Did you taste the malted barley? You should go have some.
He wants to eat that back so badly, I bet.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so then... The Tulpa, Diane, must have been created by Evil Cooper.
Yes. The night that he came to visit her shortly after he came out of the Black Lodge.
Yeah. So he must have sent her to the White Lodge. Or sent her in, or did some sort of evil magic to, like, seal her eyes up and take away her ability to communicate. Which was also sex magic, right? Because
he
raped her.
Yeah.
So that was also sex magic.
Wow, yeah. That's a good point.
There's a lot. There's good sex magic and evil sex magic in Twin Peaks then.
Huh. Yeah.
So then he created the mean version of Diane, and...
What's interesting, though, is that she, even the Tulpa still had some sense of the real Diane. Because she felt conflicted and torn at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't remember what her last words were, but...
Like, this doesn't feel like me, or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't me. I'm not me. I'm not myself.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not myself. And that's when they shot her. And she I love that horrible special effect where it's just like cut and paste.
Yeah. Whoop!
Yeah, that was, it's hard to be Diane. And then, so we don't even get a whole lot of real Diane, right? So Diane comes back. And she's really like, you know, you can tell that her and Cooper have a bond, you know, because the minute Naido turns into Diane again, like, they embrace, and, like, everything's cool.
Yeah.
She goes with them on the adventure.
Yeah. The plan was already laid out before she transformed. That's what I think.
So Diane was in on the Blue Rose stuff.
Yeah.
From the beginning. So Gordon must have known that Diane was fake from the beginning.
Yeah. Because they were monitoring her. Right, and Albert were monitoring her from the jump.
Yeah.
So they must have already known.
Yeah. When they went to the White House, and Gordon was in the front yard looking up into the vortex, and the ghost hobo sneaked up on the car and exploded that dude's head.
Yes.
Diane was looking right at him.
And she was also scared of it. Yeah, so she was able to see it.
She's able to see him, but she's able to see the ghost hobo, but then later on she's like, I thought I saw. Like, she wasn't totally certain.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting, too. Did the Tulpa of Diane see it and was unwilling to report it because the ghost hobos are on the Tulpa's side? Or are the ghost hobos, like, so out of sync that their existence, they're always sort of like a hallucination, like, you don't know if it's real?
I don't know. Because I don't think the ghost hobos are even in the Black Lodge. They're in that weird liminal state where the rundown motel is. That's where they reside.
Isn't that the Black Lodge, you think? I feel like the
ghost... I don't think it's I don't think it's the Black Lodge itself. I think it's some kind of...
Okay.
In-between place.
Because I kind
of
feel... They
definitely serve it to the Black Lodge.
Yeah, but... I mean, they absolutely work for the Black Lodge. You know, I mean, they work for Judy. They work for Bob. You know, every time Bob's threatened, they show up and heal Evil Cooper.
But it seems like Judy is almost the only outside of the Black Lodge. Even the Black Lodge may be against Judy.
Yeah.
But she's...
So you think that...
She throws the balance off.
Maybe... That was your propane tank just made a noise.
I'm not going to be able to do that.